WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now...
And it is awesome.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can love, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, but you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night, which means we're talking professional wrestling, sports, entertainment. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us live here tonight, chat, because we got stuff to do. We got to talk about Money in the Bank and more.
That's right. We've got news. We've got notes. And we are going to be reviewing Money in the Bank in the back half of the show. And my goodness, it has been a news-filled week. Some of it we will get into in Money in the Bank, because one of the big announcements is from Money in the Bank.
Yeah, it is.
So I say we don't waste any time, and we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And we're going to start off with WWE. It is official, as Adam Pearce likes to say, WrestleMania 42 is no longer, for sure, 100% in New Orleans. It has now been moved, thanks to announcement by Triple H, to Las Vegas. It will be, God, it's so late this year, or next year. It's April 18th and 19th of 2026.
Hey, that's one day earlier than it was this year.
Oh, God, I hope they put something in between. But yeah, so it's going to be back in Vegas. The rumors were true. It's all official. It's all buttoned up. They have a promo package. They have a logo. They have a QR code that you can scan to get the booking information for when the tickets are going to go on sale.
Hey,
so,
hey, they had all that already for New Orleans. It doesn't mean anything.
I'm pretty sure this is buttoned up. Unless Saudi comes in with some huge-ass money or somebody else comes in with some huge-ass money, I don't think this is moving.
No, this one's not moving. But they had a logo, they had t-shirts, they had merch, they had were getting ready to put tickets on sale. And then...
I understand that.
We had video,
you know,
we had video packages. We had Dwayne The Rock Johnson come out in February to announce it. So,
and then Hunter rolled up in June. What can I tell you? I don't know. I hope there's at some point an explanation on this whole scenario.
Money.
I really do. I know it's ultimately money. But to me, okay, to me, this kind of feels a little, it's a little embarrassing to WWE, but I feel like it's also in some way maybe a slight snub to Dwayne, because he made like this big deal about announcing it in February, I think before they were ready to, right?
No, it was when they were ready to.
But he made the big deal about dropping the bomb that, you know, they're going to New Orleans, right? That's where it's going to be. And they made all the shit. And now this happens. I know it's just coincidental, but it...
Then they made a lot of money in Vegas this year. So they want to run it back one more time.
I know. But that's just what it feels like. That's all it is. That's all I'm saying. Not trying to start anything. Just saying. That's what it feels like. But yeah.
They have a bunch of cities lined up going forward that they've promised Manias to, so it won't be like same location multiple years in a row. Maybe we'll go back again and again to places, which they have. New Orleans got 2 in 3 years, or 2 in 4 years, something like that.
At this point, it's literally all about the money. Like, that's entirely apparent, and so... I'm not saying Vegas will swing in again for a third year, especially if they have to fight somebody like, I don't know, London, because it's heavily rumored that London is making a play for WrestleMania. But like if it's, say, like in Atlanta or something like that, then yeah, they may talk about it. But if it's international, they will probably keep it there because that involves a way more planning. I need to resubscribe. Subscribe free with Prime. Yes, let me do that. Ding. Anyway, my 60-month sub, everybody.
She didn't share
anyway,
it.
She
didn't share it, though. It does, like, she could hit the share button. She could do this. It's like, there's a button, there's a sound that would play when she would subscribe with Prime. When you link your Amazon account to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You support channel by clicking the purple time button below the screen. Then you could hit the share button and chat.
I knew you'd come.
Linsward just subscribed with Prime.
Don't sell stuff in our chat. Thank you. Anyway, but yeah, I would say if it's like domestic, it's probably, there's a high chance it could move, that they could pull this again and this could go. But if it's international, I don't think it's as likely, just because, like I said, the planning is heavily involved. They have to set all that up. They have to make all the arrangements, and that will take a year to 2 years to do.
Yeah.
Because they have to, while I think they have a ring over in Europe, to get the WrestleMania set overseas, that has to be shipped. There's no way around that, unless they have that built locally in whatever country they're going to be in, which is a possibility. That would actually be really cool, is if they sent it to, say, like London, and they had the entire thing built in the UK or in Europe, and they can say that on the show that this was all produced here as a boost to the economy. Like, that would be nice. But yeah, it's a weird situation. I don't foresee them doing it too often, just because the other side of the situation is cities can't trust that they're going to get it, even after it's been assured, right? So that's going to impact people bidding on it, because it's, well, why should I book your show if you're just going to move it out, potentially move it away after we've signed all the stuff anyway?
Pretty much. Kind of how it's going
to
go.
So they have to be very careful in how they manage it. So I view this more as like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
And then they'll make it right to New Orleans, and they'll be very public about making it right to New Orleans, because it is an embarrassment. It is a little bit of egg on their face. And I'm sure they weren't entirely thrilled about it. And then I'm sure reassurances were sent to everybody else that, no, this is not going to happen to you. We're all good. We're all buttoned up. Everything's solid. We'll talk in a year, or whenever we're going to talk, kind of thing. So there's that. But good news for Jade Cargill. She's set to make her acting debut, starring opposite Jonathan Majors in True Threat, the Harlem set action thriller from director Gerard McMurray of The First Purge and Burning Sands. The feature is being produced by Alexis Garcia's Cat 5 with Charlemagne the God, Basil Iwanek from John Wick Nobody, and Karen Kinney's new banner, Southland Stories. That's good for her. That's what she wanted.
Yeah, it's cool. Getting out there.
Get it out there. Like, the whole reason she came to WWE was because she wanted to get into Hollywood. She wanted to get into movies and TV and that kind of thing. She was going to use it as that stepping stone to move into that next part of her career. And boom, there it is. So good for her. Get that bad girl.
Get it. Yeah, get it when you can.
Moving on to TNA and other promotions, because we have, surprisingly, we have no AEW news.
We haven't done anything. We kind of have an AEW thing, but it's the very end. Kind of tied to them. We'll get to it.
Should I be worried?
It's the last note. Worried? No, nothing to worry about. No, keep going.
I don't like it when they're quiet.
You're the one who said part of it, so it's fine. Keep going.
Okay. All right. The Inspiration, a.k.a. the Iconics, returned to TNA, so congratulations to them. They're back and rolling. They came back as of Tuesday or Wednesday?
Last Friday? Saturday? Yeah, it was last Friday they made their return. It's not a long-term deal, but they're back with TNA.
So good for them. Congratulations to them. May it be successful. The NWA and Roku are joining forces for a new streaming deal. It was announced today that the two sides have reached an agreement to make the Roku channel the new streaming home of the NWA in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Starting on July 29th, new episodes of NWA Power will air every Tuesday on the Roku channel for free at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
Very cool. Very, very cool for
them. It is very cool.
Yeah, get
Billy Corgan, I think. Sorry, go ahead.
It's exposure for them. They went pay model, and now they're trying to regain an audience. For NWA Power Warrior. So here we are.
Yeah, Billy Corgan was making comments that it took about 8 to 9 months to close the deal, but he's very pleased, very happy. So good for them. Everybody go watch. Go watch the Power Warrior. And last but not least, our kind of AEW news, but also independent news. We have updates on the revival of American Gladiators. I know y'all have been sitting here with bated breath, waiting anxiously for updates on American Gladiators.
Starring
I feel
Miz.
Like we should watch this. Huh?
Starring the Miz. American Gladiators starring the Miz.
Starring the Miz. I feel like we should watch this and review this. At
I want to go
an
that.
Episode.
We'll see.
You, me, and Brent.
We'll see.
But anyway, it was announced that Wardlow, Camille, and Rick Boogs are to take part in the revival of American Gladiators, presumably as the Gladiators, which is huge for them. Like, congratulations to them. That's awesome. I love that. That they're going to get a chance to take part in this. So good for them.
We found Wardlow and Camille. They're actually doing something, even though they've all been off TV for months and the show hasn't started. They're doing something.
They're doing something. Well, I thought Wardlow was hurt. Wasn't he hurt?
Maybe. And Camille just disappeared because she had a TV project. You know,
was this a TV project? Was this it?
But she disappeared like 6 months ago. So.
Look, I got nothing, okay? I got
so
absolutely nothing on that.
I don't know what to tell you, other than congrats.
Congrats. Let's go. I still feel like we have to, like, at some point watch this and make fun of this. Not make fun. That's a bad thing to say. Not make fun. Review. We're going to review it.
Let's go to break.
So when we come back, we're gonna talk about Money in the Bank. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
La 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 la, yeah. Roll up to the spot, feeling real good. Think you gon' talk shit, you better not. My homie's real hood. They say logic, why you do that? I don't know. Yeah, they used to be like.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. with the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes a K-Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This just into the CB Radio news desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio news desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw Post Show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked.
What?
What they didn't like.
What?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line!
Did you know that you can use support a creator code ROCKSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
You can't touch. You keep dreaming on the stars above.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bell Twins. And you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Something in your eyes lets me see right through you.
Get rowdy. Rowdy.
Get rowdy. Get rowdy on your ass. Better get rowdy.
Yeah.
So many damn styles get tossed up in the mix. I got them yelling, get rowdy, get quick, get rowdy. I'ma move some things. They wanna see me move and shake an ass like Django Lane. I get the flesh crawling when you see me. Ladies wanna feel me. Knuckleheads wanna try to be me. I get down nice so easy. I get greasy. Load up,
back right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RecRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are here to talk about Money in the Bank, which was Saturday night for most people except me, because I didn't get to see it because we had weather, but everybody else got to see it. I watched it later. I can't talk about this because I did watch it, but I'm bitter because weather and power outages and things. But yeah, this was a good show.
Well, one, we came back to K-Quick. I dug out an oldie.
I heard that. I was like, wow, I haven't heard that in a minute.
It's been 25 years.
God, really?
I mean, he was K-Quick in 2000.
Oh my God, I feel old. It's been so fucking old.
It's been a hot minute since we've had some K-Quick.
I've been watching wrestling for fucking 25 years. Jesus Christ.
Longer. For me. Anyway.
I'm one of them now.
She's one of us now, Chad. She's been watching for 25 years now. So there's that too. No, the show was good. It's a good, entertaining show.
I think what I liked was the pacing of the show. We only had in the end five matches,
yeah,
which allowed them to space everything out. Everything got a lot of time, which was very nice. Like, especially the Money in the Bank matches, they just felt paced better. Nothing felt overly rushed. They weren't trying to, like, speed through everything. So I very much enjoyed that, because pretty much everything was long except for one match, which was pretty quick.
Which it had to be quick, because the guy wrestled earlier in the evening. I thought we're starting with, it was the women's match that opened, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match opened. We had Naomi, Alexa Bliss, Julia, Rhea Ripley, Roxanne Perez, and Stephanie Vaquer all vying for the Cash App briefcase, because everything's sponsored now.
Everything has a sponsor to it. I thought the women were...
Hey, Cash App, hold on. Hey, Cash App, if you want to sponsor things, you can sponsor us. We'll just hit us up in the DMs.
I will take your money, Cash App. I have things that I want to do. I could use the money. So slide into the
DMs.
At Wild Talk Radio. We'll do a thing.
Totally. So, you want to sponsor the show? Fireball? Fireball, we're looking at you too. Anybody want to sponsor this show?
Or if you don't, just click the banner at the bottom of the chat. Below the window, just click the banner. Talk more about that a different later time. Talk about that one differently. Anyway.
Subscribe to the channel. Anyway, yeah, let's talk about it. You were saying, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, damn right. I'm whoring it out because I need money for stuff. So doing a lot of things.
It's what he does. What do you? You just realized this? It's what he does.
Also, I had to
pimp shit out on this network.
I had to permit the term whore. So you're welcome.
It's not permitted.
Apparently, it wasn't. Twitch blocked it. Anyway, where I was going was the women's match, the ladder match. They had a chance to be creative. They were trying different spots in this match, and it wasn't just one person doing a spot. It was a lot of teaming up to do some creative spots. I thought Julia and Roxanne worked really well together, coming up with unique ideas. I think the interactions between Alexa and Rhea were really well done, like the subtleness of like looks in the eye and just sort of placement of where they were in the ring, just looking at each other. I thought that was a well done aspect of the match. Overall, I thought this was a really good ladder match. I thought the girls worked hard to make it known, hey guys, you gotta top this. And I don't think the guys topped it on their own. The guys needed extra help to sell their ladder match. The girls didn't. It was all just the six girls in the ring. The men's Money in the Bank had interference that added to the match. So, yeah. I thought the girls did a better job of just carrying it on their own.
Yeah, and what helped this was you had four newcomers to the Money in the Bank ladder match. Rhea's never been in it, I don't think.
Yeah.
Roxanne and Stephanie. And this was actually Rhea's first ladder match, according to WWE. She had never done one before. And so you had Naomi and Alexa probably kind of running everything, and then you had the other four in the ring, and they were trying stuff. Like you said, they were experimenting, which is really cool. There was a lot of wonderful chemistry between all the women in this match. Like there's stuff that came out of this that it's like, I want to see this and I want to see this and I want to see this. Like they set up possibilities for feuds later down the line and pairings, and you just kind of sat there and you see the vision. You see exactly where they're going with this, which I liked.
Yeah.
And what was really cool was they were taking risks and they were doing big spots, but they weren't doing them what I would term stupidly, and they all made sense. Like when they hit a big spot, it had an impact versus just doing like spot after spot after spot after spot, especially at the end. Like everything was very well coordinated, everything was very well timed, and the big moments felt big in this, as opposed to like them happening and then something else big happens and it doesn't get that chance to breathe and you don't get that chance to absorb it. I did feel a little bad for Naomi, just because when she came out, they were like, this is her fifth Money in the Bank ladder match. You know, she just made history for being in it five times and not winning it ever. And this is like, oh, girl. Oh, they did not do that to you. They rectified it at the end, but still, it's like, do you have to say it kind of like that? Do you have to put it like that? You could have just said she's been in the match 5 times.
I mean,
you
didn't have to bridesmaid her. I mean, but they were telling facts, and it was a fact up until that point.
It was a fact up until that point, but I just felt bad for her that she's coming out, and it's like, that's what they say. She made history tonight because she's been in the Money in the Bank match 5 times, and she's never won it. Like, fuck, guys.
But now she has.
How dare you?
It's fine.
But now she has. Yes. Yes, now she has, because Naomi defeated Alexa, Julia, Rhea, Roxanne, and Stephanie to take home the briefcase. She's now Miss Money in the Bank. This was the right call. This was absolutely the right call. I have no problem with this whatsoever. Roxanne would have been a very good second choice in this. Pretty much everybody else in this match doesn't need it, particularly Rhea. Like, out of all of the women in this match, Rhea was probably the most over, like, just with how people reacted when they all came out.
I mean, that's no surprise.
I think Stephanie was a very close second. So, like, everybody in this match will get their chance. Everybody will get this turn, but Naomi's been waiting on this one for a while.
Also, the devil's kiss on the ladder.
Yeah, that was hot. That was hot. There were a lot of things that happened in this match that I can't talk about on air because that will, Anyway, moving on. So we got the Rhea and Stephanie moment, guys, and it was fantastic. But yeah, Naomi's been waiting on this one for a while, and it's definitely deserved.
Yeah.
Beyond deserved. And I hope they do right by her. I hope that when she wins the title, you will let her win the title, WWE, goddammit, that she gets a good run because she's put in the work.
She's put in the work, and this is probably her last run.
Yeah.
Because she wants to do the family thing, and we're getting close to the point of she's got to go there. So this will probably be the
last. Let her go out on top.
Be her last, I think this is her last big run. So they'll do right by her.
At least for a while.
Yeah.
I don't know if she's going to come back, but it would probably be her last run if they do the family thing.
Yeah, if they do the family thing, because she's talked about it. But yeah, I hope they do right by her with this run. It fits the heel gimmick she's doing. And she's been using it on social as a teaser, so for stuff that what's inside it. So should be fun.
It should be fun. Moving on, we had Dominic Mysterio. This was a last minute addition, by the way. Dominic Mysterio with Liv Morgan taking on Octagon Jr. This was for the IC title in a singles match. This was very quick. This was less than 5 minutes. You kind of blinked and you missed it, but it was solid for what it was.
It was very solid for what it was. I thought it was a good showcase for Octagon. I thought it was a good showcase for Dom. Because they're trying to get Dom over and, well, he's already over, but him out there more often on a PLE. So it was a good showcase for him. A little bit, it was a quick match. But that's all it needed to be. He was on the Worlds Collide to set it up and then did the match.
It's a good way to work him out of Judgment Day and begin having him show up either with Liv or solo on his own, because that's where this is heading.
Maybe.
I feel like,
oh, we'll see if it's heading for him to be solo, where it was just I think we're going to get the Judgment Day apart, but I think Liv and Dom act as staying together.
Yeah, but they're going to come out of it and they're going to go on and do whatever, and then Judgment Day it will reform into something different. But it's also a good way to work AAA into the show.
Yeah, it was,
you know, That partnership, that wonderful partnership that they have, is a good way to bring them in. I did sit here for a second and I was like, you know what would be really cool is if they had Octagon Jr. win the IC title and then Dom's got to chase him down.
She did have that idea. It did not come to happen, though.
I wanted the chaos. I wanted it to happen so hard, but we didn't get it. Oh, well. But yes, congratulations to Dom on his victory. Moving on, we have Becky Lynch taking on Lyra Valkyria for the women's IC title. This is a last chance match where if Becky lost, she would not be able to challenge for the title again so long as Lyra was champion. And if Valkyria lost, she would be forced to raise Becky's hand in the center of the ring and acknowledge her as the better woman. This was a fantastic match.
These two women have fantastic chemistry together. Every time they're in the ring, good things happen. We saw it back at Backlash. We saw it when they had a match in NXT. They always get in the ring together. They deliver a strong, strong performance. I thought you could see the confidence growing in Lyra.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's not out there getting 5 minutes. She's getting time to breathe and actually work. So it this stuff with Becky has been very beneficial for her. And I thought the way the match played out, it showed some of her frustrations with trying to finish off Becky. And so Becky's frustrations trying to take out Lyra. And it, in the end, it resulted in Becky having to cheat to win.
Yep, she grabbed the tights to beat Lyra, which will take us to a third match because, well, as I think you and I both talked about last week, there were shenanigans and that gives Lyra an excuse to come back. But yeah, this, and I'll take this again.
Yeah, I'm here to see it one more time. And Lyra getting the belt back in the end would be the right play when they do meet again. But it's like, I saw people like, we're wondering why she lost. It's like, baby faces sometimes need to chase. And for the heel character Becky is portraying, cheating to win was the right way to do it. Beating Lyra clean would have killed all the momentum. So yeah, having her come out, pull in the tights at the very last second to kind of get the edge, and then be very cocky about it afterward. And that's what sold it. You were doubting how it would play out. And they played out pretty well at the end, afterwards, where Becky was like, raise my hand and then do all four sides and then, yeah, put the belt around me. So I thought it played out really well.
She played it out fantastic. I still think it's a stupid stip. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still think it's completely stupid and unbalanced. But Becky played it up very well. She hammed it very well. Lyra snapping and, like, you know, basically attacking Becky after the match and then walking away because she was pissed was good. I really enjoyed all of this. I liked the finish. I liked the fact that Becky cheated because the point wasn't that Becky is going to have a long reign with this. The point is that Becky won and she now has another title and she's now, I don't even know what the title would be. She's not a Grand Slam champion, is she? Yeah, she already was.
No. Still Grand Slam because it's now four different titles.
I don't know if it would change because they added a fourth. But yeah, she now has all the titles. She's now collected every single title. She got them all. But they did bring up that Lyra had been champion for 144 days. And while Lyra has been a good inaugural champion and this has done wonderful things for her, I wouldn't say it's really anything of note because she didn't have a lot of, like, what I would term like competition. They've been very sort of like off and on with her in terms of defending it. And so I feel like with this will add a little bit of boost, especially when she gets it back, because Becky is a very high profile opponent. She beat her once in a defense and then she will beat her again to get the title back, presumably at some point. And Becky gets something out of it as well. She gets to be a Grand Slam champion. So I think this is a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. Totally a win-win for everyone. It was the right way to do it.
Very much so. Moving on to the men, where there was lots of drama here. Seth Rollins with Paul Heyman took on Andrade, El Grande Americano, LA Knight, Penta, and Solo Sikoa in the men's Money in the Bank ladder match. There was stupidity to be had in this. They went for things. They did things in this, which I enjoyed. Do I think this was as good as women's? I will back Rock up on that and say no, it wasn't, because there was, like I said, there were shenanigans. There was an ass load of interference in this. We had the two Brawns show up. Braun Breaker is just ungodly scary. And then, you know, as if we weren't already terrified, Jacob Fatu showed up. That man should not be able to fly like he does, but he does. And the note wasn't the fact that Seth won, which he did, which was probably the right call. It's the fact that, well, Solo Sikoa's got a new hater, and he's big, and he's scary, and his name is Jacob Fatu.
Yeah, Solo pissed off the wrong man. He pissed off Jacob Fatu. Jacob overheard him on SmackDown, and that was kind of the tipping point. And then he set him all up, go get it. And it's like, not happening. And it's like, I hate you. And the crowd goes, Solo. And then he beat the crap out of Solo Sikoa, left him laying in the center of the ring.
I would like to thank Solo Sikoa for wearing the little bike shorts, because he would have been ass out several times at many points in this match. But I liked how they did this. I liked how, instead of letting Solo betray Jacob, Jacob was like, yeah, no, I'm not about that life. And he decided he was going to go ahead and handle his business and take care of everything. And so, yeah, when Solo's climbing the ladder, Jacob's standing there guarding everything, and then he reaches up and he grabs Solo's leg. And the moment he said those three words, "I hate you," the crowd just went nuts. Like, this was, the term was really, really well executed.
It was.
And where the bloodline goes from here, who knows? But the term was really good. I expect great things from Jacob Fatu. Like, I think they're going to strap the rocket to him and they're just going to let him go. Well, that's my personal opinion.
Well, they have been. He's been elevated a lot in the last year. It's been a year since he's been with WWE, and you can see the position he's in right now. And yeah, the bloodline will regroup and grow some more with returning names and people being called up to join the bloodline as it moves forward. But yeah, Jacob has enemies now. And the crowd can cheer for him.
But that's okay, because he'll know how to handle them. But yeah, I mean, overall, the match was really good. I enjoyed it. Like, you had people in this match that had been in this match before. They pretty much all knew what they were doing. I think the only newcomer you had was maybe Penta. Well, Penta for sure, because he's brand new. But has Solo been in it before? I'm trying to remember.
I don't remember. I don't think he's been.
No, I don't think he's been.
Because he was feuding with Cody, so no.
No, okay. But Knight's been in it before. Chad Gable's been in it before. Andrade's been in it before. And of course, Rollins, he's been in it before. So you had people that understood this match, that knew how to work it, that could get through it no problem. And everybody in this had done a ladder match. So again, they knew what was up. But yeah, this was enjoyable. This was good. I thought the women's was better. But here we are.
Yeah, the men had a good match, but yeah, the women's ladder match was better because the women had to just carry it on their own. They didn't need interference to keep it going.
Yeah, agreed. And last but not least, because we're not done with the show or the shenanigans, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso took on John Cena and Logan Paul in a tag match.
I mean, the match was fine. It picked up really good at the end. But it was your typical heel tag match. Logan had shenanigans with his drone thing. It's so weird. He's holding it while taking the suplex. That was weird, but...
That was strange.
It was strange, but what it's the moment they want to do, so they did it.
I know, but it's like, I get they're trying to get that viral clip moment for him so he can put it out on the socials and it will do a billion like views, but I don't know, like, I'd rather it be not as invasive as that, because it just felt strange.
Yeah, but it backfired on him, so maybe they'll cut it out. Now it was like, it's worked out before, now it backfired on him trying to overdo it with the drone, so we'll see.
But we will see.
I thought the match was fine. I thought R-Truth showing up at the very end was a surprise. It caught me off guard. I was like, oh, hi, Truth. Welcome back.
Right.
So officially, R-Truth is back with WWE, aka Ron Killings. For how long? Who knows? It seems like he's back for now, and then we'll see where it goes. I suspect he'll become an official ambassador, kind of like Titus O'Neil, once ever this contract is up. So he'll be always linked to the company. He'll be able to do other things, most likely. But he will be an ambassador, I would assume.
I would assume that as well. This is a wonderful thing from pretty much every angle. Because a lot of people were very upset that R-Truth had been let go. And rightfully so, because he's been with the company forever. You know, he was a great support both on screen and backstage. A lot of people love him. A lot of people enjoy what he does. So yeah, there were people that were hurt that he was let go. And we talked a little bit about this on Monday, but I want to just mention it again here, that it shows a change in WWE that they reverse that decision and they work something out with him to bring him back. Because it was, I think the official story is that the contract negotiations had fallen apart or had stalled or they couldn't come to an agreement or whatever term you want to use for it.
He was making too much money. They offered him a lower deal. He did not want to take the said lower deal, so they decided to not renew his contract.
They couldn't work it out. Okay. And so they were able to overcome that. They offered him a contract that was agreeable. He re-signed it, and he's back with the company. I love this for him. I think it's fantastic, and it shows that they are listening to the fan base. We know that already in certain other things they do, but this is the first instance of a superstar that has been let go that has been returned because of fan demand. that they have listened to those voices of people clamoring for one particular person, and they're like, yeah, all right, we messed up, we're sorry, we'll bring him back, kind of thing. And that gives hope for talent in the future, that if they're going to let people go, that they can be more or less saved. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in every situation, but for in specific instances, if there is enough of a ruckus, people will be brought back. And that's the message that's been sent, which is good.
It's not going to work all the time. So just because your favorite gets released here in 2 months, it's not going to happen all the time.
No, but in they're willing to make exceptions, I think is the point.
Yeah, they listened. And that's what counts.
That's what counts. But yeah, in the end, the despite the shenanigans and despite the wrong killings and everything else, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso were victorious. They defeated John Cena and Logan Paul, and the crowd went home happy, which is the right move, because if you're going to have Cena lose, you have him lose in a tag match as opposed to singles. And it's a good way to not to overcome the LOL Cena wins curse.
Yes. That was the right way to do it.
It was the right way to do it. It was totally the right way to do it. But that concludes, I think, Money in the Bank.
That is Money in the Bank, which means that's our show.
That's our show. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Here we go. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. So there's another edition of CB Radio. We're doing dad jokes, so be ready for that. Sunday night, I don't know if there's a show or not. I asked. No one said anything. We'll find out. Monday night is a fall post show. Whenever Monday Night Raw ends, we'll talk about it on the Raw post show. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack. It's Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search The Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use creator code RockSock or
Lynn's M. Ward.
In the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimmaLynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Follow his content, subscribe, like, tell him we said hi and that you like his stuff, because Matt's awesome. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week with a discussion topic. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.